Hello and welcome to Series 3 of the Isle of Wight Show with me, Joe Redston. I'm delighted and privileged, actually, to say that this season I'll be featuring interviews with some of the amazing people who are involved with the Mountbatten Hospice. I'll be speaking to Jackie, who is one of the nurses up there, with Nigel, the CEO, and also with one of their patients. But before that, to give us a bit of background about the hospice, to talk a little bit about some of the things that they do and also some of the misconceptions, and perhaps give you a bit of information about things that they do that you might not know about, I spoke first with Matt White, who is the communications director at the Mountbatten Hospice. So here is my conversation with Matt White. I'm here today with Matt White at the Mountbatten Centre. So Matt, firstly, thank you. Appreciate your time today. Just tell us very briefly what your role is here at the Mountbatten Centre.
Thank you, Joe. Yep. So I am communications and engagement manager for Mountbatten, which is Newport Isle of Wight. And my role really is essentially to help promote everything that Mountbatten is all about, from the care we provide to the support we give people to all the other things that go on at Mountbatten Hospice, which is an ever-growing list. And primarily I support that function of letting people know that all of that is happening.
Great. So could you start off with, you know, maybe just some kind of numbers and things like that, just to give us a bit of background about, you know, how many people work here, how many people you guys see, those kinds of things.
Yeah, sure. So we have our inpatient unit, which is where we look after people, has 16 bedrooms, individual bedrooms, on our ward. And in there, we look after people who come in at the end of their life, in a lot of cases. And we also have people that come in for a bit of respite, that just have a room for a week, then go home. They may come back for another week. But the ward essentially is one of our area of real expertise. We care for people who are under the term of at the end of their life. But that doesn't necessarily mean the last few days. That could be a last period of their life. But that's what our ward function is. But the building itself is a lot more than that. We have our John Cheverton Centre, which is our day centre, where we look after people who come in just for a day and do access all our services. Yep. And within that, we also have a cafe, which is open to the general public, where we've just done some refurbishment work just to make it even bigger, because it's really popular, which is fantastic.
Now, if I can just jump on you a little bit there, because I really, that was fascinating when we had our little walk round up just now. So we'll come back to the John Cheverton Centre in a minute, because that took me by surprise, frankly. I had no idea. So there we go. What would you say, and maybe the answer to this question is the John Cheverton Centre, but what would you say is the biggest misconception on the island about what you guys do here?
I think it's a big challenge for us, because people have an impression of what a hospice is, and I think all too often people just think that is a place where you go to die. You know, end-of-life care is will always be a big part of what we do. But we're opening our doors to so many more people now because of the different levels of support that we're able to offer. So at the hospice here, we have a relatively new addition in the coordination centre. And that is essentially our care hub, where we have a huge database of people that in one way or another access some form of Mountbatten care. Now, there's a real mixture of different people that will have different health conditions, different needs, different levels of support they require, and often it may be just a phone call from time to time just to check that someone's okay, or someone we're here for them to call into just to get a bit of reassurance about something, to being able to get a community nurse out to them if they need that sort of support. It's a real mixture. So that the care coordination centre, in terms of numbers, means that currently we have around 1,400 people on our list, if you include the care coordination centre, include the ward, include all the different functions that we support in some form. So it's a lot of people.
That is that's a much bigger number than the 16 bedrooms that you've got here
might lead people to expect. And so how might someone go about accessing that support?
Well, we have a number of functions. So often there'll be referrals either through the hospital or through GPs. Mm-hmm. A key part of our work is, again, raising awareness of the different services that we provide, and so that everyone in the healthcare sector and in the community actually can feel like they can come to us and have that support. So there's those mechanisms for referrals, but we have a very much an open door sort of policy here. So if anyone feels like they need some form of help and they think that we can help them, then we would sit down and we would talk to them and we would listen and we would do what we can to help. That's very much the spirit of Mountbatten. And that's why we like to think that sort of sets us apart, because we don't turn people away. We always find a way of helping someone who needs our help. I mean, and the 1,400 figure in the last 6 months since I've joined the organisation, I think we were at around 1,200 when I joined. So in mm-hmm. just that time, we've added another 200 people onto the list, and it's an ever-growing list. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that stopping.
And would that, I think for someone like me, you know, spent a lot of time on the island, the Mountbatten, you're obviously aware of it in the background. And, you know, I don't want to be sort of offensive to anyone here, but, you know, in my head, it sort of is this place where you've got maybe cancer or something like that. And it's got to the point where, you know, there's not much that the doctors can do anymore. And, oh, okay. Mountbatten's where you might end up. So obviously there's those kind of things. Are there sort of, again, maybe unexpected things? I don't know the answer to this, but, you know, maybe can you help with sort of mental problems or anything like that as well? Or is it?
No, you're right. I mean, we have, we have a psychology and bereavement service. So not only do we look after people that need support from a health point of view, but then we have aftercare for people that, families, relatives, friends, that is completely open to anyone. So even if you have a relative that's died and they didn't necessarily die at the hospital or die under Mountbatten care, the bereavement support, for example, is still available to them. It is literally open to anyone, completely free. Then we have, how we work with people in the community is we actually identify what we consider coming to the final period of their life. Now, to some people, that could be the very last few days. To others, it could be the last few years. So if you are growing old, but you're perfectly healthy, you get into your 90s, for example, then we would perhaps identify someone as entering the final period of their life purely because of their age. So they would be eligible for some level of care, maybe come in, do some art classes or music therapy or any number of our services. But with that, it's quite a broad eligibility criteria, if you like. But that just means that we have the potential to help an awful lot of people, whether they may have, you mentioned cancer, that is a key one, but dementia, MND, heart failure, all of those people with those sorts of conditions all come, we help them all. So it's a real vast range.
And you mentioned briefly there the art therapy and the music classes. That feels like it's quite a neat little link back to the John Cheverton Centre. So, as you took me on the little tour just now, and yeah, that place, I had no idea it even was there. So can you give us a sense of the sort of things that go on in the John Cheverton Centre?
Yeah, sure. And that is part of our challenge, because people have that perception, idea of what they think a hospice are at. And then when they come into the John Cheverton Centre for the first time, they're all blown away by it, because it's very light, it's bright, it's got a really nice atmosphere in there, it's open to the general public, it's open to families, it's open to anyone that wants it. And we have a cafe there, we have concerts there once a month, we have day services there, for example, we'll have therapy rooms, so people that we look after, they can come and have a complimentary massage, for example. We've got the gym, so day patients come in, we're building their strength back up. You know, we're very much about promoting people still to live, even if they have a condition where, you know, ultimately they're going to die, but until that point, we want them to get the best out of their life they possibly can. And so we're actually working with people to improve their day-to-day lives. So the gym work we do, other rehab facilities that we've got here, treatment rooms. I mean, it is quite a place. And then you go outside and you can sit in our beautiful Chelsea garden.
Yeah, just give us a... Because, again, that just completely took me by surprise. So you call it the Chelsea Garden because it was at Chelsea, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the Chelsea Flower Show, and the designer effectively rebuilt it in our back garden. And now we have this beautifully maintained garden by our volunteers who, you know... we bumped into Sue in the corridor earlier. She looks after the gardens with our team of volunteers, and they do an incredible job keeping it looking amazing. And we've got, you know, as you saw, you can go out there and just sit there and enjoy it, and it's tranquil, it's quiet, it's peaceful, it's nice to look at. And then we've got the children's play area outside in our partnership with Kissy Puppy. So you can see that actually once you get through the doors of the John Trevenson Centre, you can come and have lunch, you can come and have a nice time, and it's a really nice place to be. And that is our challenge, to get more people through the door so they can all champion that for us.
Yeah, and you really are literally talking about people who just want to pop in for a cup of coffee and, you know, let the kids kind of mess around and on the playground for a little while, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I've got two young kids, and I've brought my oldest up here and said, "You're going to come to work with Daddy for a couple of hours." And we didn't go to work because it's impossible to work with my children around. But we went in the cafe. We had a sausage cake, a drink. She played outside, and it was wonderful. She had a great time. And I often see, you walk around and you'll see young children here that are obviously visiting friends or family. And it's just a really, really nice place. And the concerts that we have one recently, and it was packed to the rafters in the John Trevenson Centre. We get some really good musicians in, both from the island, and people come over from the mainland to take part in our concerts. We have an interval with canapes and wine, and it's really a special night, and it surprises a lot of people when they've done it for the first time.
Yeah, it definitely did me. And moving forwards a little, what's the sort of challenges that you face here?
Well, we are a charity, so it goes without saying that the support of the community and the fundraising element to the organisation will always be fundamental to what we do. We've got a brilliant fundraising team, and we've got great support in the community, but you can never take that for granted, and you can never stop. And there's something we ask a lot of the community, because we're always asking for their support. But the reality is we need it, because we couldn't do anything that we do here for people. And bear in mind, all of our services that we have are free. And so we couldn't do that unless we have the support of the community. So we never take it for granted. We're always looking to do more things. We're always looking to have different events that are going to attract support. So that sits with us all the time. The other challenge, I guess, is what we've referred to, is actually encouraging people to think of the hospice in a slightly different way. It's not just to think it is a place where you go to die, or as a place, you hear the expression, "I'll go there, I'll never come out," because that's simply not true. A lot of people come in and come and go all the time. People with serious health conditions, people with other health conditions. There's a lot of myths that are still knocking about that we keep tapping away at trying to bust, but they have a bad habit of creeping up. So we can only do that through getting the message out there, getting more people to be champions for Mount Batten. We've got an amazing volunteer base. We have about 500 people who are on our volunteers list. We want to grow that. We want more. We want more people, because the more we've got, the more that can share our messages, the more can sell, not sell us, but the more it can promote what we're doing. There are many layers going forward. And we're also mindful that there are lots of other great causes out there. And, you know, particularly on the island, everyone's asking the same people for their money. So we just want to keep doing absolutely the best we can for the community, and hope that they see us as a worthy cause to support.
And there are some things that are so ingrained in island life. You know, I interviewed Ron Bowler a while back, and obviously we spoke at length about Walk the Wight. There are some things like that that are ingrained in the conscience of the Isle of Wight, as and also associated with the hospice. What else can we do? Well, you know, what would you like people to do?
Well, Walk the Wight's, you know, our title event, and it's a very special event because it's unique. It's, I think I read not when I first joined that it was the longest walk of its kind in Europe, and it's very, very special to Mountbatten, and long may that continue. Next year, particularly special because it's the 30th anniversary, I think, or birthday. What's the difference? I'm not sure, but it's a big one. it's the 30th something for Walk the Wight, and we really want to make that an extra special event. But there's events that we have on throughout the year. So Go Yellow's coming up, 4th of October. And Go Yellow, a few years back, we went really big on. People were doing all sorts of stuff, that swimming in custard, dressing up in yellow fancy dress, who, you know, you name it. And then, so we're trying to reinvent that again, because it was such a fun event and the community of the Isle of Wight really got behind it. So we're kickstarting Go Yellow. We've launched it. We want everyone to get involved with that. But we've got so much coming up. We'll have Christmas events. There's the events calendar that's on our website. Is, you know, the opportunities are endless. Any level of support, from really small things like just a small donation to a cake sale to anything, you know, literally every penny does count, and I mean that because it does. And away from the money side of things, I suppose just getting people talking a bit more about death and dying. It's a subject that a lot of people feel quite difficult talking about. It's a really sensitive area. People deal with death and dying in a very different way. One of our, you know, we just want to encourage people, it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to plan for it. And that's a big part of the work we're doing through our advanced care plan, is that we actually want people to just not get to a stage where they haven't talked about it or prepared for it, and then it all becomes quite a shock, whereas actually it's okay and it's a good thing to think about it in advance and get some thoughts down, because the it makes that time a lot easier for everyone. But we recognise that that's a tough thing to do, so we will just keep championing and plugging away on that, and hope that we can get through to a few more people, because the rewards are worth it.
Excellent. And I guess in the meantime, pop up and come and have a cup of coffee and a cake, right?
Absolutely. Come and have a cup of coffee and a cake. We've got 10 shops out in the community. Go and have a look. There are so many different things that people can do. But, you know, we're very focused. We absolutely want to help more people on this island. Our chief executive, Nigel, is determined to help more people. The staff are with him. And it's a very, very forward-thinking organisation to work for. So hopefully that translates into the community too.
I think it does. Matt, really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And yeah, we'll catch up with you all again sometime soon.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. To learn more about what the hospice do and how you might be able to get involved, please do visit their website, which is www.mountbatten.org.uk. That's mountbatten.org.uk. You can also find them at Facebook, where they are facebook.com/MountbattenIW. If you enjoyed this, please do check out my other podcast episodes, which you can find, well, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find them at my website, which is www.joeredston.com. That's joeredston.com. And there you will also find my blog and details about my book as well. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Cheers.